Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are live right here on the early line on Sports Grid on this Tuesday morning. I'm Kevin Walsh, joined, of course, by Donnie Wrightside. Donnie, how are we feeling?
Feeling good. Fresh off of Monday Night Football, Kevin, and I needed 18 points in the fourth quarter and got those from the Jacksonville Jaguars. Keep in mind, rooting on a Saints win, check. Rooting on over 40 points, double check. Nice little odds boost there from the FanDuel Sportsbook last night. That cashes to end the night for me, Kev.
Woo! Some heroic performances to close that game out, no doubt about it. Let's get straight to it, though. Our 7-7 top headlines begin with that game where Jameis Winston absolutely lit it up. 9 of 10, 123 yards, and two touchdown passes in the first quarter. Jameis Winston making his case, Donnie, for the starting job for the New Orleans Saints.
Case open, case closed at this point right now. And it's Jameis Winston's job to lose. And we start this right off in the 7-7. 9 of 10 last night, two touchdown passes. Before the game, we saw Sean Payton say, I'm not going to make a decision until the, you know, right before the first game of the season. I think the decision was made for you once again last night. It just makes perfect sense. Jameis Winston looked great in his short time of action. As you said, two touchdown passes. Marquez Callaway got them open 14-0. There it is, Saints. You know who the starter is. We all know who the starter is. Maybe Sean Payton, you now should know who the starter is.
He cannot wait to wait until Wednesday of week one to make some decision for no reason. Another big piece of news coming out of that game is first-round rookie running back for the Jacksonville Jaguars, Travis Etienne, injures his foot in this game. A mid-foot sprain is what they're calling it here. Some real unfortunate news for the Jaguars and Etienne.
No, absolutely, and that's not what you wanted to see early from a guy that you drafted in the first round that you expect to have a big season, at least in the passing game and on third downs. We were screaming on the show, where is Etienne at? Are you really going to save a rookie running back to the regular season? Well, maybe in hindsight they should have done that because he does get injured, and it's not one of those Kevin Neal banged up shoulder, you know, maybe hurt his hand a little bit. That is a mid-foot sprain on a guy that's built on explosive moves. We'll see how long this rehab is going to go, but I'm pretty sure they're not going to rush him back, and we might be looking at weeks once we get the final diagnosis.
It's a good thing he's like the third string running back on that football team. Great use of a first-round pick. How about Cam and some COVID protocol confusion? Ultimately, a kind of mishap and when he was getting tested or where he was getting tested is going to cost him 5 days in the facility here, Donnie, and I would say the underlying story of this all is it's 5 days where Mac Jones gets to exclusively play with the ones.
Yeah, so Cam Newton will be doing everything virtual here on a mishap, which is kind of interesting that it's happened that this late in the stage, vaccinated or unvaccinated, there are clear protocols of when you can leave town, when you can't leave town, and how you can get tested. How that sort of went under the radar, I guess, on the New England Patriots, where they had to find out, and he's away for 5 days. It doesn't actually say that he has COVID, even tested positive, or was around anybody, but if you mess up the protocols, you're going to get an automatic 5 days away from the facility, and that does help out Mac Jones. So another little layer of intrigue here for the New England Patriots as they head towards the first game of the season and who is going to be their starting quarterback.
Going to be some interesting stuff. We'll bring the radio audience into the folds here. Thanks to all those who are listening to the early line on Sports Grid Radio. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside with you on a Tuesday morning. Let's talk some Major League Baseball. The New York Yankees have won again 10 in a row for the Bronx Bombers. They stop a 9-game win streak of the Atlanta Braves in a 5-1 road victory.
Who's going to stop the Yankees here? About a week left here in August, heading through September. Now in full control of that wild card spot here on the way to the playoffs. But also keep in mind, Atlanta, as you said, Kevin, stopped a big-time win streak there. Good job by the New York Yankees. So if anybody out there is rooting on a team in the NL East, finally, you saw Atlanta lose. There is some hope for the NL East.
Yanks trying to help out the Metropolitans and, of course, the Philadelphia Phillies. Both of those teams starting massive series, by the way, today. We'll be breaking those down throughout the show. Another Major League Baseball headline here. Big series between the Blue Jays and the White Sox. Toronto trying to keep their postseason hopes alive. They were boosted by a very bad managerial decision, in my estimation, by La Russa taking Lance Lynn out early. Craig Kimbrell blows it, and the Blue Jays win 2-1.
Yeah, good win by the Blue Jays here, trying to certainly stay at a level pace here and try to get back into the playoff race at least, you know, maybe not for the division in the AL East, but certainly a wild card position. Craig Kimbrell now 2-4 on the season. One inning pitch, one earned run. Good enough to earn the win? Nope. Good enough to earn the loss in this one. As I said, nice win by Toronto here. Maybe cruise control for the White Sox here on out until they get to the playoffs, but it was an interesting decision where usually it's that 100-pitch mark that you sort of say, hey, you can't start another inning after that. Maybe you could have got one more inning out of Lance Lynn. Maybe that could have propelled you to a victory, but a good win overall by the Toronto Blue Jays.
Speaking of pitching, the San Diego Padres in late August. Things ain't going well in San Diego. They just fired their pitching coach, Larry Rothschild, axed by the San Diego Padres amid their current slide.
Yeah, it's not the players, right? It's the pitching coach who just comes out and says, hey, can you throw some strikes? Sure, coach, I got it, and then walks back into the dugout. Of course, that's going to be the reason to propel the San Diego Padres into the playoffs, Kevin. I don't think so.
It's exactly how it is. Come on, Larry. You got to get him to, come on, help Weathers out there. It's a great point by you. Last headline here, the Northern Trust. There was a delay in finishing up this PGA Tour, a long delay in between PGA Tour wins for Tony Finau, but he'll take it. Goes out there, wins the Northern Trust, his first PGA Tour victory since 2016. Come on back here.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on the early line, and last night we put our final touches on the second week of preseason action in the NFL with the Saints beating the Jacksonville Jaguars 23-21, and over for the game, a cover for the Jaguars, but certainly not in the first half. Early domination for the New Orleans Saints, Donnie. Jameis Winston found Marquez Callaway on a couple of amazing touchdown throws as well as catches from Callaway in that first quarter. It was a 17-3 lead for the Saints. And something we were talking about late night on radio is the gap that we are accustomed to between a Saints and a Jaguars kind of team felt like the gap we saw in the early beginnings of this football game.
Yes, and you are exactly correct there. 23-21 final, but it certainly seemed like it was a little bit more lopsided than that. And what would have happened if this was the opening game of the season in the Superdome down in New Orleans, where they had that early lead and they were going to play starters all four quarters? I'm not so sure that Trevor Lawrence and that offense was going to do much optimistically. But then again, it is the preseason. So when you're betting the preseason and you see that score and heading into the fourth quarter, an easy win, right? -4s, -4.5s on the board for the Saints. You wake up this morning and that evaporated in a two-point victory here for the New Orleans Saints. But in the same, you know, shoe, Kevin, as I like to say, putting them on, I was dead in the water after a late interception, I thought, with about 9 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, let alone getting a offensive explosion over the next couple minutes was sensational here. But also keep in mind, both offenses passing-wise, Kevin, in a preseason game. You look at the Jacksonville Jaguars, used three quarterbacks. They threw for 367 yards combined. Take a look at the New Orleans passing game attack. Three quarterbacks used, 306 yards. So you're certainly up there around 700 yards of passing. You should be able to get into the 40s for a point total, and they did that last night with 44. But getting back to the point here, the main ingredient in this, we wanted to watch Trevor Lawrence. Made some exciting plays, showed his athletic ability, but also showed that that offense doesn't look very good. Yes, it's vanilla to start. They're not going to show all their wrinkles till they get to the regular season. But what you want to see is an offensive line giving a quarterback time to deliver from the pocket. You didn't get that all that much. But again, the superstar of the show last night was Jameis Winston throwing a couple dots out last night. But also, how about, you know, the LASIK now, Jameis Winston? Can he see better? Is that why he's dropping dimes 40 yards down the field, Kevin?
We do have updated odds for Jameis to be the week one starter. Now minus 490. We'll really expand on that during Hot or Not. I want to give the Jaguars some time here, but I need to make sure I circle back on a pure betting point from this football game. Yesterday, we had about an hour to, you know, kind of check the lines before this got underway. And the opening line, or the closing line rather, for the game was 4, maybe 4.5. The first half spread was Saints minus 3.5. For, you know, people, it's been a while since you've bet some football. Typically, you're not going to, they're not going to mirror one another. Usually you cut in about half. If a team's a 4-point favorite, maybe a 2 to 2.5 point first half favorite. It was stark. So much so that at one point I said, Donnie, I mean, we got to grab 3.5 here with the Jaguars. What tremendous value. It showed, though, why that was the case. You're talking about a team that was up 14 at the break, 20 points before the fourth quarter did start here. Not apples to apples when Donnie talks about, hey, bet your team totals. But again, if you were somebody out there, and look, it was a terrible beat. Don't make, you know, any mistake about it. But if you were somebody out there that said, I'm laying 4 with the Saints because their starters are way better, bet the first half. That's when the starters are playing.
No, exactly. And we talked about that last night when you said that 3.5 comes up. I was like, that just shows you when the starters versus starters are going to play in the first half, a decided advantage for the New Orleans Saints. But once you get into the second half, we don't know the quarterback rotations. We don't know if one team had a lead like the Saints hit up 20. Let's just run the clock and get out of here, put some game film together, and off we go into our third preseason game. And you saw all heck break loose there in the fourth quarter. 18 straight points there for the Jaguars to get the cover of the football game and also push the game over the total. But that's just another layer of what you have to anticipate coming into betting the preseason. Because you're right, a 4.5 turns into a 3.5 in the first half. That doesn't make sense. Typically in the NFL, if the game is at 4.5, it's no less than 2.5, but certainly usually around 3, because that advantage comes from the first half. If they're going to be up at the half, there's a chance it's probably going to be by 3 or more points. That's where they like to put that differentiating marker in. But it is interesting to see here in the preseason a 3.5 and a 4.5 split between the first half and the second half. And you found out exactly why, Kevin. That split made sense.
No doubt about it. Now, as far as the Jaguars go, there was a lot of buzz last night, not only around Trevor Lawrence having some struggles, but Urban Meyer. And Urban, in recent years, when things maybe at Ohio State haven't gone tremendously, he called maybe the Coach K move, I can't see, my back hurts, I need a couple of weeks off here, let's push the blame on to somebody else. And this was not a good start here for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Again, sure, they circled the block here, Donnie, but yes, Trevor Lawrence is the star of this team, but it is not lost on me, and I know it is not lost on you either, that they do have, in terms of notoriety here, one of the more notable head coaches in the league, and this is going to be something to follow here because we don't know if Urban Meyer is really still cut out for the pro game.
Yeah, we never knew it, you know, to begin with, because we only know what you see from college football. And I know there's other coaches that have made a leap from college football, like the Jimmy Johnsons of the world, stepping up and winning world championships with the Dallas Cowboys. You know, we've seen it the opposite. We even saw Barry Switzer with the Cowboys franchise win a championship after obviously having success at the collegiate level. And you can certainly go back and look at those old Barry Switzer teams running the basically triple option and was able to move that over to the NFL. Obviously, Troy Aikman wasn't running the triple option with Emmitt Smith, but you see good coaches who have a pedigree that know how to get their players to play. Doesn't matter what system they're in. But it is an interesting move because we've seen other college coaches, a la Nick Saban, have success in college at LSU. go down the play with the Miami, excuse me, go down the coach the Miami Dolphins, not have a lot of success here, then head back to Alabama and dominate again? Is it one of those things where, hey, I want to get to the highest level here. I want to see if I can do this. And if it's fun and it's enjoyable, I'll coach for 5, 6, 7 years, make a ton of money, then end up retiring and, you know, off to live my retirement life, golfing and, you know, hanging out, just watching football. But this will be an interesting case study here in these big time coaches that go up, because also, Kevin, it's not as if these guys sign for like 1 year, $1 million, and the pressure's on for year two. You're getting a 5, 6 year deal worth, you know, upwards of, you know, $7, $8, $9, $10 million a year. So they're going to be around a while, because the one thing that differentiates a head football coach in the NFL from a player, that's a guaranteed contract. I mean, look at John Gruden out there for Oakland, 10 years at $100 million. He gets fired after 1 year. You know what? He gets $90 million to sit at home. So he's going to have to be an absolute disaster for Shad Khan and that management team to move on from Urban Meyer. But Urban Meyer has the pedigree here. He's going to get some time there. He's going to put an institutional lineup in, meaning, hey, let's see what we have this year. Then year two, if our quarterback is Trevor Lawrence, he's our franchise guy that we know, we're going to spend some money and see if we can surround him with some talent.
And I think also for the Jaguars, look, Trevor's not off to maybe the start you wanted. Zach Wilson, dazzling. We, you know, Fields, Trey Lance, Mac Jones. And not that necessarily it's a negative connotation on Trevor Lawrence, but also maybe is the expectation that the guy's going to finish every single game with a 158.3 passer rating. Sometimes it feels that way. But they did get some unsettling news around Travis Etienne, the midfoot sprain here. They do have James Robinson in front of him, and it also kind of seems like they have Carlos Hyde in front of him. I know this, Donnie. If anybody out there was running to the window to bet Travis Etienne's 32-1 price on offensive rookie of the year, well, don't do that, because he's injured and he's also not really getting enough of a workload here in Jacksonville.
No, certainly. It was interesting because I actually liked the draft pick when I took him. I said, hey, look, surround this kid with as many weapons as you can, being Trevor Lawrence. But then right away, like, hey, man, we took this guy we think is going to be a great third down back. You draft a guy in the first round, he's supposed to be a three down back ready to rock and roll from game one. An injury never, you know, is good for a rookie player regardless of position here. And this one might carry into the regular season where you don't get those game reps, you don't get those mental reps, Kevin. This could be a tough rookie season for Travis Etienne here.
Yeah, no, it's always good to draft Theo Riddick in the first round. It's always good to get a J.D. McKissick. Etienne's a good player, but the way they're going about it, I'm not so sure. Again, this was Jameis's game. We'll expand on that when we get to Hot or Not, but we have to stop over in the world of Major League Baseball next here on The Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right here on The Early Line on Sports Grid. And before we talk a little Major League Baseball action here, want to let everybody know to make sure that you go over to Twitter and you follow us at Sports Grid as well as at Sports Grid TV. All of the most important updates, latest information, and gambling advice that you need can be found at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV. Also, make sure you follow Donnie at Rightside VP. I know he's going to have a lot of good stuff coming your way today. If you'd like to follow myself at the Kevin Walsh as well. Mustache reveal yesterday. Tremendous action. Let's talk a little Major League Baseball. Donnie, the Yanks. I decided against it. I almost saved this. Hot or not, are the Yankees the best team in the American League? Should they be the favorites in the American League? I stopped myself. It's coming, though. 10 in a row, the best record in the sport since early July. All they do is win now. It is incredible to watch this team finally have the roster and the talent match the results here. 10 straight for the Yanks.
Yeah, good moves, by the Yankees at the trade deadline. One of those teams, maybe should be selling, not buying. You add a couple pieces to a decent ball club, and it seems like they can wake up. The Atlanta Braves did it in the National League, and obviously the New York Yankees making a couple key shrewd moves at the deadline to boost their team, because now they're on a hot streak running away with it. Now you're looking at saying, hey, you know what? The playoffs are nice, Kevin, but how about winning the AL East, as that still is in there, you know? Control, and you can see Tampa Bay ahead of them. Maybe if Tampa Bay goes on a losing streak, loses 3 out of 4 games, the Yankees continue to play and stay hot, that can be attainable. But take a look at last night, Kevin. Here's what we're talking about. Forget about the bat. They scored 5 runs, which was enough to win. We said coming into the game, you know, this really felt like an under type situation. Obviously 6 runs staying well underneath the total of 9 for this game in Atlanta. But it's the pitching, Kevin. Pitching wins. Pitching gets you to the playoffs. Pitching wins in the playoffs. Pitching will win you World Series. And it comes from a multitude of players. So if you have a 1 through 5 in your rotation that are giving you quality start after quality start, that's half the battle. But also keep in mind, even as, you know, the Yankees have a little bit of turmoil in the back end of that bullpen, they're still able to close these games out and get wins, because every win streak has to be buoyed by a couple situations where, hey, you know what? We almost let that one get away. But almost is the key word there, Kevin. They're closing the door at the end, getting good starting pitching and timely hitting all the way through. That's a great win for the Yankees to go on the road yesterday against a very good Atlanta Braves team and continue that streak. And we'll see if they can build on it even more today.
They are hitting. And you're right. The pitching has been great. That bullpen finally now living up to reputation, it feels like there. They come into the game and they actively are closing the door here. You look at some of these odds for the Yankees, and it's very interesting, Donnie, because they have right now the second best record in the American League, only trailing the Rays at 4 games. And they entered this season as the favorites with a bit of a gap as well in the American League. And I wanted to compare it to the Dodgers, who remain favorites in the National League, despite the fact that they very well could be headed for a wild card game here. The Yankees' numbers are all very interesting to me. They're plus 450 to win the AL, the fourth choice on the board. They're plus 280 to win the AL East. Even if you wanted to take it all the way down to the World Series, they're now plus 950. Do any of the Yankee numbers, Donnie, jump out when you check them there? Because this is a team right now that, again, when you think about preseason expectations and you think about what they're putting up right now, there could be an argument to be made that they're the American League's best team.
Yeah, no, there is. And there is, because the pedigree of the organization is there. And I don't mean from ownership or front office, Kevin. I'm talking about the players itself. Go through their healthy 1 through 9 in the lineup. That's a legitimate playoff team. That's a legitimate team that can make a run and win a pennant. Go through their starting pitching. What do you need mostly, Kevin, once you get to the playoffs? Yeah, you need quality starts. You need an ace on the hill that, when you know he's going to get maybe games 1, 4, and 7 on the mound in a 7-game series, you have that with Gerrit Cole. And then also take a look at from the position of, you know, how are we going to close out these games? You're doing it right now without probably 2 of your best bullpen arms, not in the right frame set of mind, or not in the right frame of mind. So once you get Aroldis Chapman back to that April, May, June, where he was basically untouchable, or if you take a look here at Zach Britton, can get back to his ways, if everything falls in line, and really that's what has to happen, Kevin, in order to win a World Series or make a deep run in the playoffs. If you get hitting out of that 1 through 9, very good starting pitching, which they've had over the past 2, 2.5 weeks, and also get a dominant back end of the bullpen, that is a recipe for success. And I'm still not ready to give up on the New York Yankees now that they're running this streak here with roughly, 35 games left to play, where you can take a look at them actually tracking down the Tampa Rays. If you look at the plus 280 number here sitting at the FanDuel Sportsbook, that one to me makes the most sense, because that's going to be head-to-head. They're going to have games where they match up, and we're still waiting on the Rays saying, man, how are they doing all this? We know they have a decent bullpen, but look at their starting pitching. Every night on the mound, it's almost like, let me check this guy's statistics to see what he's actually done for the season, because we don't have a full catalog of these guys being dominant in Major League Baseball over the past couple years. It's a very good hitting lineup for Tampa Bay, but don't give up just yet here on the Yankees winning the AL East.
I want to talk a little bit about the AL West. The Athletics, maybe more than any team right now, have to be so frustrated by their current slide. They had a 7-game win streak. They have now lost 8 of their last 11 baseball games. They dropped another one to Seattle last night, who's playing very well, trying to keep themselves in the thick of things here in that AL wild card. The reason why the A's have to be so frustrated, Donnie, is this is as bad of baseball as the Houston Astros have played all season long. They have lost to the Royals again, and they didn't just lose last night. They got embarrassed 7-1 Kansas City. Something is wrong with this Astros baseball team.
Yeah, and I guess there's no, you know, it's not hot in the kitchen just yet for them because they're not getting any pressure from the Oakland Athletics behind them. Like, if I see, you know, last 10 games, let's just say 3-7 overall for the Oakland Athletics. If they were 7-3, you'd be looking at an Oakland team probably in first place by now and trying to hit that eject button on the Astros in that top spot and also even to make the playoffs at this point. But when you're a struggling ball club and every time you look at the score, be like, woohoo, Kev. At least Oakland's losing tonight as well. And also from an Oakland psychological perspective, this is the time you're supposed to catch them because teams get hot, teams get cold. It's very rarely that two teams stay cold and you can't make up any ground. Because when we always talk about one of the words I love is pedigree of a baseball team, we know Oakland is very good. We also know the Astros are very good. No less than a month ago, I'm saying, hey, man, my World Series preview by far, it's going to be the Dodgers and it's going to be the Astros. The Astros can't get out of their own way, but you know what, Kevin? It doesn't matter. If they stay out of that wild card spot here, that's a huge advantage for them into the playoffs. Still a long way to go, over a month into the season that we have left, but you're talking about a team with Oakland that should have already chased down the Houston Astros and have it. That's tough to swallow.
No doubt. The fighting Kendall Gravemans, even though he's no longer on the team, the Mariners are trying to, again, make things interesting. They currently do sit in front of the Toronto Blue Jays, but they got a massive win yesterday, did the Toronto Blue Jays. 2-1 playoff-style baseball. Manoa being able to match the performance of Lance Lynn. Manoa goes 6 innings, only gives up the 1 run, and strikes out 5. Lance Lynn goes 7 innings, gives up 1 run, strikes out 4. But Lynn left this game with 86 pitches, and we were on in play sports tonight. I had bet the Lance Lynn strikeout prop, so was my vision blurred by that bet no longer having a chance because of the exit for Lance Lynn? I'll let Donnie be the judge of that, but in the moment, it felt like they were overthinking removing Lynn from that baseball game. You're talking about an AL Cy Young favorite right now. I know they handed it over to one of baseball's best relief pitchers, but it didn't pan out as Kimbrel blew it, and the Blue Jays won that game 2-1.
Yeah, and also, Kevin, when you're looking at this overall game, because we thought it was going to be a playoff atmosphere, which usually means lower scoring. That's exactly what you got in 2-1. But when you're looking from a White Sox perspective, as they head down the stretch, they're basically in the playoffs now. Do they want to win games? Mm-hmm. Of course they do. Did they take out Lance Lynn because maybe they don't want to have him go over 100 pitches, maybe had a 25-pitch inning coming up in the bottom of the eighth that may cause some issues down their line? I understand that. And also, you're not handing it off to the Philadelphia Phillies bullpen to try to tie down a close game. It's one of the elite bullpens in Major League Baseball. And also, from a betting perspective here, Kevin, if you take a look and say, hey, you know what? I have the White Sox in this game. Is there a more painful way to lose? Not only where you're starting pitch, you say, man, just got 7 great innings out of my start to give up 1 earned run. That should automatically be a W for the Chicago White Sox. But then you lose on a wild pitch. Those ones are tough. Like, it seems like it wasn't even earned at that point here. And as we watched it play out in in-play sports tonight, you know, if you're not going to be able to win the game or your prop, the other team might as well lose at the same time. So the White Sox did get a victory lap, Kevin, over the White Sox here with that loss. But, I don't shake anything up from this. It's a good win, as I said, from the Toronto Blue Jays. It's not a devastating loss for the White Sox. They will be in the playoffs. I think if you look at it from a perspective for the White Sox, they probably feel like they should have hit a little bit more in that baseball game to carry them the victory. But only giving up 2 runs over those, you know, eight and a half innings for the at-bats, not a bad idea, but a good baseball game overall heading into the playoffs. Definitely a playoff atmosphere here.
Can we talk about Kimbrel for a second, though? Because yesterday, again, when that happened, I was like, man, has he been bad for this team, or have I only just seen 2 bad moments? So Craig Kimbrel for the Cubs, 39 appearances, a .49 ERA. There were 2 baseball games in which he gave up an earned run during his season with the Cubs. He's now with the White Sox, 10 games. He's had 4 different games where he's given up an earned run, Donnie, with an ERA of 5.79. Went from untouchable to very touchable, changing Chicago teams.
No, and you're going to see this a lot in Major League Baseball because, Kevin, when you have a closer, it's a different mindset. You're coming into the ninth inning with the lead to shut the door. Now you're going to an eighth inning setup, man, usually in tie game situations or to just get a hold. Sometimes that plays with closer's mind. Maybe a little bit of that with Craig Kimbrel.
Very interesting stuff there. What are you going to have him? Ah, listen, he can't handle it. Liam, you mind doing the eighth? We'll let Kimbrel finish it out. No. Coming up next, Jameis Winston. Did he lock up the job last night? We'll talk about it. Hot or not is next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here, and it is time for Hot or Not. Minus 490 for Jameis Winston to be the week one starter for the New Orleans Saints. Sean Payton thinks it should be even money, maybe plus 200. He loves himself some Taysom Hill. But Jameis with an undeniable first quarter performance, 9 of 10, 123 yards and two touchdowns. Donnie, hot or not, Jameis Winston won the job for the Saints last night.
You know what, on this one, Kevin, I'm going not. And you say, wait a second, what do you mean you're going not? That means there's a chance that Taysom Hill is the starting quarterback here, Kevin? Absolutely not. You know why? This is a not for me, Kevin. He won the starting job the minute Drew Brees retired, and everybody around football, everybody doing content, everybody sitting at home who was a fan, knew Jameis Winston was the starter of this football season before the offseason even began. There's only one guy out here left on this planet that says, hey, man, we just got to evaluate this tape. We got to get after it. Maybe Taysom Hill has a big third game of the preseason. Nonsense. This is an absolute hot for me, but at the same time, Kevin, a not, because we're taking a look at one, the starting job. Do you know who controls that? I don't control it here sitting here, Kevin. You don't control it over there. Us as fans watching don't control it. Sean Payton controls it. So he's going to keep it however long he needs to say, hey, we got to get another couple practices in this week to see if he can win the starting job. Absolutely not. Jameis Winston was your starter for 6 months, Sean Payton, even if you didn't know it yet.
It is absolutely in my eyes. And I think, see, it's funny because Donnie's right again. First of all, I still can't believe that he let Taysom Hill quarterback last year. I saw a bad faith argument yesterday that Jameis is too turnover prone to be this quarterback. Come on now, Taysom Hill was 3-1 last year as a starter. Again, beat the Denver Broncos, who did not have a quarterback, and the Falcons twice. Cut it out with that 3-1 record for Taysom Hill. I really do believe, though, that last night Jameis did win this job, if it really was in doubt for Payton. And I guess the sad thing is I do actually believe that Sean Payton had his reservations about moving forward with Jameis Winston, not because he dislikes Jameis, because he absolutely adores Taysom Hill, but it was clear as day yesterday. The longest touchdown in terms of air yards for the New Orleans Saints last night since 2016, preseason, postseason, or regular season, when Jameis hooked up with Marquez Callaway. Jameis provides this team not just something that Taysom Hill doesn't provide, but something that Drew Brees hadn't provided in quite some time here. They need explosiveness. There was a great moment yesterday on the broadcast after a Taysom Hill incompletion. You can just see Cam Jordan, as well as Jameis on the sideline, chatting it up there. And I'd like to believe that Jordan's like, hey, listen, man, I'm glad that we just solved this tonight because there's no way that they're letting Taysom get back out there. You're so clearly the quarterback here. It is time for us to shift past these markets of who will be the week one starter. Let's get some season-long Jameis props here and figure out whether or not this guy is going to throw for 5,000 yards again. I can't wait to see it. Moving forward, though, with some other news here, we talked about ETN and the running back injury there. Luckily for Jacksonville, they've got a deep running back room. One team that does not, the LA Rams. Another injury to one of their running backs here. Darrell Henderson picking up a thumb injury. They're going to need some help in that backfield, Donnie. And maybe they should call an old friend. Hot or not, the LA Rams should bring in Todd Gurley.
And it's amazing because I think, I don't think you need the pun there to bring back an old friend. The running back's only 27 years old, should be right in the middle of his prime, but it seems like Todd Gurley already is an old running back in the NFL. As the great Ricky Waters once said for the Philadelphia Eagles, for who, for what, Kevin? What are we bringing this guy back for? Because he ran for 3.5 yards per carry last year for the Atlanta Falcons. Look, running back is a dime a dozen in the NFL. You can find a young, talented running back on the waiver wire, draft him in college, sixth or seventh round. I know the Rams are looking for some help here, maybe a veteran presence who's been in the offense. I guess it could make some sense. But if I'm looking for a advantage and say, hey, we're going to get upper tier, you know, play out of this running back, Todd Gurley, that's not what's going to take place here. This isn't back in, you know, 2016, 17, where Todd Gurley was running amok in the NFL and dominating out here and getting a massive contract. You're taking a look at a Todd Gurley that's basically broken down at this point. Yeah, if he knows the offense, okay. Maybe bring him in for a game or two. But absolutely not for me. They should not be signing Todd Gurley. Keep it with the young kids here. Move it around the league. Todd Gurley's not going to help you win football games for the Los Angeles Rams. I'm out on him. Absolutely not.
If I look at this depth chart here, okay, because they lost Cam Akers, right, for the season, which, by the way, is one of the most insane draft picks of the last, like, 5 years. For that team to spend the draft capital that they spent on Todd Gurley, the money that they spent on Todd Gurley, and then watch that flame out. And then that season, that was their first pick of the draft, by the way. Okay, there was a second-round draft choice on Cam Akers. It was wild, but Cam Akers was great, and he's gone. Well, it's fine. We have Henderson. We don't know what the timeline is. You look at the rest of the depth chart here. I mean, they might as well list family members, and I really wouldn't question it here. Nobody, nobody, nobody. At the end of the day, they could bring Todd Gurley in for free. He might just like a distraction away from the regular life. Call Todd Gurley at the worst-case scenario. He can mentor some of the Xavier Jones, Raymond Calais here. Like, and Donnie's right, by the way. At the end of the day, like, if you're a fantasy football guy, you're out here like, oh, boy, I got to draft Xavier Jones now. Give me Jake Funk, maybe, perhaps in the mid to late, you know, portions of my draft. But, look, Donnie, if we're going to keep employing these Chase Daniels of the world because they're old hand quarterbacks and know the offense, there's a spot for Todd Gurley on the Rams roster, in my estimation. I look at that as a no harm, no foul kind of pickup.
Yeah, no harm, no foul, no production. So you can add another no to that list. And hey, maybe he does, you know, maybe he resurrects his career. We don't know. But if I'm just looking at Todd Gurley from what I've seen after he departed from the Rams the first time, just about every single running back can do it. But I guess the only caveat here is he does know the system. Maybe they can use him in a pinch. And also, it doesn't look like Henderson's hurt that bad. It wasn't like a thumb fracture or anything where he's going to be out long term, so that helps. But they will need to get another running back. And maybe it does fit in that point. So just signing him because he knows the offense, I guess, does make a little bit of sense here so close to the regular season.
To be fair, Todd Gurley last year didn't really. He had some ends of the season. You go through that game log, and there a whole lot of woof for Todd Gurley. Let's talk about some other exciting players. Here on today's show, we're going to do some previews for both the Cleveland Browns and the Pittsburgh Steelers' upcoming seasons. And we love talking about some of these season-long player props. FanDuel right now has a market for some popular parlays, and they're going to start piecing more and more of these in. There are a couple of Browns and a couple of Steelers options. The Browns option that jumped out to me for a parlay, Baker Mayfield for 30-plus touchdowns, and Odell for 1,000-plus receiving yards, pays out at plus 320. Hot or not, Donnie, these guys will hit these benchmarks.
I'm going to say not. And this is coming from a guy, Kevin, that is very high on the Cleveland Browns. Like, we'll talk about them a little bit later, but I have high expectations for the season. But when I take a look about it, what do they have? Well, good now. Finally have a head coach that's able to call a game plan. That's half the battle. Baker Mayfield looks like he's turning into a very good NFL quarterback and should improve. That's great to have. But you also, Kevin, have so many mouths to feed on that football team at wide receiver, running back, including your quarterback throwing for touchdowns, that if you're taking a look, everything can hit. Like, I love Kareem Hunt. I love Nick Chubb. You know, I love the wide receivers. I love, you know, the way that the offense is going to get called, and Baker Mayfield's going to have time to throw behind an elite offensive line. But something has to give here. Look at Baker Mayfield. You know, look, still a young quarterback, 2020 last year. I thought he had a very good season, 26 touchdowns and 8 interceptions for 3,500 yards. I think I'm going to get about that same, because if he does throw for 30 touchdowns, it doesn't necessarily mean he's going to throw for a ton of yards, like 5,000 plus yards. You just have to execute in the red zone, and they're going to be in the red zone quite a bit here. So the issue that comes up is, all right, is OBJ going to get the catches? Is Jarvis Landry going to get the catches? How about some of their tight ends? You know, how about their running backs out of the backfield? A lot of mouths to feed, even though I think they're going to have a really good season, Kevin. It's hard to take overs because I just don't see it as, you know, we have one wide receiver, one quarterback. I'm going to throw it to you every time, like Julio Jones over the past couple of years in Atlanta. Just somebody, hey, throw it up in the air. DeAndre Hopkins back when he was back with the Houston Texans, where you know he was getting the football each and every time. Do I think it has a legitimate chance to hit? I absolutely do. But the question you're asking me today, I'm going to go a nod on this one. They are big numbers to put up with a lot of mouths to feed. Maybe he gets the 30-plus touchdown passes and Odell only goes for 900 yards, something like that. I'm going to go a not today, even though, once again, Kevin, I really like Cleveland's prospects on offense.
And I think that's fair. I think you can like what Cleveland brings to the table and not like this bet. Let me expand on Odell here just for a moment, though, because I think Baker throwing for 26 last year, now coming up to 30, I'm not sure. Odell getting to 1,000 yards, though, is something that is interesting here. Last year, only played the 7 games, got to about 300 yards. I still believe in the talent that is Odell Beckham Jr. And individually, Odell's number is 925 and a half here. We can expand on that as well as Jarvis's number when we get to our number two. But I think Odell absolutely could have some meat on the bone in terms of a big bounce back season. And one proof point that I would tell people, because I'm sure people probably would have forgotten about such a thing, but his first year in Cleveland, he did get over 1,000 receiving yards. That is still a special talent at the wide receiver position and not somebody that I would be hand waving for a big bounce back year. Comeback player of the odds for Odell, I think, could be interesting. Let's talk Steelers. A similar option here on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Big Ben to throw for 4,000 yards. Najee Harris to rush for 1,000 yards. The payout, Donnie, is plus 250. Hot or not that those guys will hit those benchmarks?
Yep, here's the key question this. What are we going to get out of Ben Roethlisberger, and will he be healthy? He's getting up there in his career, so on this, just looking at it today, I'm going to go a nod on this one. I like Najee Harris. I think he's going to get 1,000 yards on the ground. I think they're going to use him exactly the way you think you would use a first-round running back, not what Jacksonville was doing with Travis Etienne. He's going to get the carries. He's going to get the market share. He's a 3-down back. That's going to be great stuff. But taking a look at Ben Roethlisberger to throw for 4,000 yards, yes, there's an extra game. Last year, he played in, what, 15 games and threw for 3,800 yards. But you saw a different maturation process here, if you can call it that, from Ben Roethlisberger just getting older. Looks like he can't move as well in the pocket. And yeah, just like everybody does, Kevin, they come back to camp in the greatest shape we've ever seen the guy, you know, heading into his 40s. Understandable. I like that. But look at what we have to deal with to get those 4,000 yards. An offensive line that is 100% rebuilt from what we saw over the past couple years with the Steelers, when that was a strength of their football team. Also, let's take a look in the conference, or excuse me, in the division. Forget about the Cincinnati Bengals. You have 4 games here, Kevin, against elite defenses in the Baltimore Ravens and also the Cleveland Browns. So it doesn't add up to me. Do I think Ben can get there? Yes. But when we're taking overs and unders, you have that winner in your pocket until it's not, meaning that he throws for over 4,000. I think he's probably going to miss games. He might get banged up. Let's just see if that elbow can hold up for a full 17 games in a full and very good division, particularly on defense from the elite teams in that division. I'm just going to go under by fault on this one. Parlays are tough to win. Yes, I like Najee Harris, Kevin, but I don't believe just yet in Big Ben that he's going to be slinging it all over the place for 5,000 yards here in 2021.
This is where I lose this bet. Is I like Najee for 1,000. The Big Ben numbers baffle me. He was third last year in attempts. Matt Ryan was first, 4,500 yards. Brady was second, 4,600 yards. Big Ben last year, 608 attempts, 3,800 yards. And you know they're going to want to lessen that workload there for Big Ben. More Najee. That's where I struggle with this number. We're coming back here. There's one more video to play for you, and one that I know brought a smile to Donnie's face. We'll talk about it next, right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid with you on this Tuesday morning.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, quick segment here before we hit hour number two of the early line. It is a leftover hot or not question. It's not really hot or not. I couldn't figure out how to phrase this because I think I've asked every single question that pertains to this thing like 1,000 times. Does when start week one? Should the line move? Is there value on this number? Is there value on that number? It's all relevant. But the most important thing is the latest video of Carson Wentz at Colts practice here and just how mobile the Colts quarterback looked at practice. Watch this video for those that are on the television side here. And Donnie, as somebody who bet their win total over, I have to imagine that you've watched this 100,000 times here with a huge smile on your face.
Exactly. As the Pointer Sisters once said back in the 1980s, Kevin, I am so excited and I just can't hide it. Can't you see my face right now? The excitement on it right now. But obviously, betting the team total here for the Indianapolis Colts was exactly, this is exactly the video that I wanted to see, Kevin. Because, well, hey, 5 weeks, 12 weeks, going to miss the first six games. Going to be Sam Ehlinger, Jacob Easton to start. No. Yeah. This kid's running around out here. He's ready to rock and roll. That 8.5 at minus 120 to FanDuel Sportsbook that I was able to get just a week and a half ago once we thought surgery was going to go well for the Indianapolis Colts. Does it guarantee he's going to be there under center week one? No, it doesn't. But let me tell you something here. If he wasn't, you know, out at practice and running around and maybe inside the building rehabbing, we would have a lot more stress here. But that is a great video that shows he's on the mend, Kevin. Let's go, Colts. We just need 9 wins this year.
When they said he was returning to practice, I'm like, oh, like he'll probably stand there, some stretching. You know, yes. Just stand still, throw the football. You see that? Hold on. All right. Anyway, like, he's moving around. He's cutting left and right. Little play action. He's playing week one. He is. And it's reflected now. The Seahawks are down to 1-point favorites. By the time we get to week one, the Colts will be favorites in that football game. We'll see how much of their other odds catch up. Coming up next, hour number two, we start off with some make-miss playoff odds in Major League Baseball. Padres, Reds, and Cardinals coming up next.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.